News, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us again. We thank Mr. Matt Cotrillo in the newsroom doing a fabulous job. His first year as news director, so he's all over the news. So we really appreciate that. Our clackety clacker in chief and Mr. Rob Center, fabulous producers on the other side of the glass. So all very much appreciated. And thank you for joining us. Traffic wise, it's all normal around here. Normal getting in and out of Riverside, very slow. Normal getting past the middle school in Danville. Front Street slow in Sunbury, but not exceedingly slow. Just kind of stacked up during a normal morning rush hour. In the studio with us now, Joanne Trauman is back, president and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way. We've been so lucky to interview her a number of times about these important topics going forward. This is part two of our interview regarding the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way Early Learning Investment Commission of the Susquehanna River Valley. This is the local component of what is a statewide initiative and just tons of attention. And every governor, Republican or Democrat, seems to agree that this is a critical issue that's got to be looked at, talked at, brought up, and reiterated that 0 to 5 are the most important ages for kids, bar none.
It's critical, yeah. 85% of a child's brain develops before the age of 3, 90% develops before the age of 5. And I like to joke that by the time we get to our age mark, we're done. Not entirely true. I think we're learning as time goes on. The plasticity of the brain exists and you continue to grow. But in terms of when those initial synapses form, those early years are just critical. And even prenatal years are critical. So we focus a lot of our attention at United Way on early learning. In fact, that's about 1/3 to 1/2 of our investment every year, either in grants to programs or in direct programs ourselves.
All right, well, we're going to talk about some of those specific programs and some of the deliverables in a moment. But you define, Mr. Art Thomas was so kind on Monday to give us the first part and his definition. You define Early Learning Investment Commission of the Susquehanna River Valley.
Yes, they are. Our early ELIC, as we call them, is a subsidiary of the statewide commission. So there is a commission appointed by the governor. There are 75 commission members at the state level. And our committee is a local committee that sits under United Way and is governed by United Way. And they are primarily business leaders in the community, although we've recently redefined kind of our membership. We've been lucky to have local legislators sit on that committee for a number of years. And we're now inviting early childhood leadership. We think it's so important to have them at the table because child care is really complicated. I don't think anybody, until they dig a little deeper, really understand how complicated child care is. It's a little bit like the higher education system, and I would even say more complicated than that in terms of how it's funded and funding sources, that sort of thing.
You find a daycare that has an opening and you go there. What else is there?
Well, good luck, first of all.
They're
finding
booked up.
Booked up, yeah, 2 years. 2 years out, our highest quality centers, your child will be...
Waiting list.
Yeah, waiting list. You will be, at least your child will be 2 years old. Even if you register or get on the waiting list when your child is in utero, it will take a long time. So we have probably record numbers of people relying on neighbors, friends, family members to care for their children. I know even when my children were born, my oldest 18 years ago, I was on a waiting list for a number of months. I was lucky enough to get into High Quality Child Care Summit, which is formerly Some Child Development, is where he went. But we waited 4 months at that point in time. Now it would be 2 years. I don't know what I would do. I certainly wouldn't be able to work if that were the case, because my family's a good hour away. So I was able to make that work for about 4 months, being able to cart him back and forth to my dear aunt who watched him for a couple of months. But it was hard. It was really difficult.
And so what's a mother to do?
Again, they really rely on folks, but what we're seeing, and I think what we don't talk about, is how much it's affecting the workforce. You talk to any employer locally, Bob Garrett likes to say for every 11 jobs, there are 10 candidates. And a big part of there are a lot of reasons for that. Mental health is affecting the workforce. Substance use disorder is affecting the workforce. But we don't talk enough about childcare and its impact on the workforce. We talk about childcare and the downstream return on investment. $16 to $17 for every dollar invested in a child's life is what you get in return by the time that they are an adult. However, we don't talk about the impact it's having right now on our workforce. You talk to any young parent and they will tell you the two things that are impacting their ability to work are transportation and childcare.
All right. So we don't have enough daycares around centers around here, daycare individuals, and certainly not enough four-star. We have relatively few of the four-star daycare centers.
Very few. Summit is one that does high-quality childcare beautifully, and they are one of our community partners. We also partner with the YMCA, and we're so proud the YMCA just got a star 3 rating. Just this year, they became one of the first in Northumberland County to be rated that high. Every childcare center is star 1, meaning they're in the state system. But in order to move up, you have to have qualified staff. You have to invest in curriculum. It's school. So, you know, I remember getting lesson plans for my son when he was 6 months old, when he went to Summit, and thought, What is this? Why the heck am I getting a lesson plan for a 6-month-old? But they take it very seriously. And, you know, there are certain things your children should know by the time that they go to kindergarten. And so for me, I looked for family, somebody who could love my child, and that's really important to parents. But we often don't think about the academic advancement of our children, the brain development piece. That is so, so important. It's just as important as them being loved and nurtured.
Right. Some of the deliverables, the specific tasks that the ELICSRV will do.
So they govern our subcommittee, Early Learning Subcommittee, which is composed of early learning professionals entirely. And one of the things that we're doing right now is we're actively working on a common measurement tool so that every child care center, every library that we fund, everyone in our community can point to and say, yes, the children who go through our program are ready for kindergarten according to this tool. So that is one thing we're actively working on right now. We have done a number of things, and I don't want to make it seem like we haven't made progress. When our ELIC started back in 2011, only 20% of children had access to high-quality childcare. Now it's closer to 30%. So we have moved the needle. A lot of that has been through advocacy. So advocacy in that our state legislator has done a beautiful job investing in high-quality early learning. As you said, it is a bipartisan issue. I would say it's a nonpartisan issue even, in that it's just not political. People can't argue about how important this is. It's just a matter of finding the funding to be able to help pay for it. But they have done that, and they've really invested, and we've been very pleased. Most of that growth has been in the area of Head Start and Pre-K Counts classrooms. So these are publicly funded programs that are very high quality, that are aimed at low to moderate income families. That's great. It's wonderful. But it's done only a little bit on the side of providing child care funding for actually child care subsidy. Hasn't done a whole lot in terms of expanding capacity. There's a lot of complicated issues that continue to exist about how we fund child care programs for infants and toddlers specifically. So that's really what we're going to be working on. Some of the things we've already done, we have the Every Baby Needs a Laptop program, and we've partnered with Evangelical Community Hospital to provide that to parents who are expecting and grandparents who are expecting. It's actually become a program that's very popular among grandparents, and it teaches about the importance of brain development and how you can nurture your children. So if you go to the Evan Hospital website, you will see we offer that program about quarterly. Lynn Fiedler is our coordinator of that program. And you can go there and look for the next session and sign up. But there are a lot of things going on. We have a strategic plan. The first step in the strategic plan is to work with existing child care providers to increase their quality. That's what I call low-hanging fruit and the stuff that we're going to be doing over the next 6 to 12 months. Over the next 18 to 24 months, we're going to be looking to partner with hopefully some employers to expand childcare capacity. So make the case that this indeed is affecting your workforce. And I think they know that. There are a couple of employers who have our attention and are working with us actively. And then over the course of the next 3 to 5 years, we're really going to be looking at additional advocacy initiatives. This is a public-private partnership, really, truly. We need to publicly fund this. We also need to privately fund this. And we want to be looking at what best practices in other states. North Carolina is doing some really creative things, not just about how they fund childcare, but how they provide childcare providers with a living wage so that they're making more than $8 an hour.
Do you need the state to mandate anything to make this happen, to force kids to get some education, but 0 to 5, or are we not to that point
yet? I don't think we're to that point yet. And primary reason for that is, you know, parents, we do believe at United Way that parents are their child's first teacher. And that's really what Every Baby Needs a Laptop is about. And really, we've become fans of home visiting. In fact, we are local Parents as Teachers affiliate, so that we go into the home to teach parents how to parent their children. And not that there's any necessarily right way or wrong way, but there are metrics that you can follow, and there's guidance that you can provide to parents, because there is no manual for that. But, you know, I think the reason that we don't go in that direction is because there are a number of parents who really believe strongly in parenting their children up to a certain age. The challenge is that parenting isn't what it used to be, and there is less what I call kind of a supportive family infrastructure. I know even, as I mentioned, when my children were babies, my family was an hour away. My grandmother and my mother were a phone call away. Some families don't even have that. And so you're kind of floating out there. You've got single parents who are working really, really hard and might work certainly a full-time job, if not 2 and 3 jobs, to support their family. And so that external, you know, sort of extended network doesn't exist. Neighbors aren't like neighbors were 20 and 30 years ago. I know if I were home with my siblings, you know, 30 years ago, I could go to the neighbor and say, hey, could you help? You know, I had a neighbor who was just like a grandfather to me. That doesn't really exist anymore in our community, only in small doses and only in small pockets. So that's really what we're working toward, is really creating a better community and a better neighborhood. But to answer your initial question, no, I don't think we're there yet. I mean, there are certainly states who've gone to universal pre-K, and that would be for 3 and 4 year olds. There are cities like New York City has gone to universal pre-K. Philadelphia is working in that direction to make that available, at least, but it's certainly not mandated. I think Art mentioned 8 years old is a compulsory age, and certainly I would like to see that change, but there are some families that don't believe in that, and we've got to kind of tread lightly.
Where do I get more information? I want to bone up on this. I want to know more. Where do I go?
Wow, there are lots of resources out there. If you Google OCDEL, O-C-D-E-L, it's Office of Child Development and Early Learning at the state level, they have tons of information. Pre-K Partnership for PA, lots of information. Ready PA, lots of information. There are so many organizations and groups out there that we connect to that do this day in and day out. Certainly GSV. uw.org. That's our local website. And if you want to get engaged and involved, give us a call.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Joanne Troutman.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Joanne Troutman, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way, part two of an interview that started Monday morning with part one, and Art Thomas of MECTEC and on the Early Learning Investment Commission of the Susquehanna River Valley under the auspices of the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way.